It's time to ask some amazing people questions about almost anything. Welcome to Spark One with Audrey King Wissiger. In the next hour, get ready to meet some of the most successful people in their field, and no question is off the table. Now, here is your host, Audrey King Wissiger.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Spark One, where successful professionals answer real questions. I'm your host, Audrey King Wissiger, and we're going to be talking about blended religion families and lifestyle acceptance today. I am not an expert in the area of religion and theology. However, I've always found it fascinating. I grew up in a family background, and I am currently married to a man who's Catholic. And I'm not Catholic, but I was baptized as a Methodist. And my daughter, who used to come to Catholic service with me, she was very young, and she realized that Mom didn't get up and take communion with the rest of the family. And so one time when she was very young, she whispered to my aunt, "Mommy is Jewish." So that was her perception of where I was at. And, wonderful. So my first guest is the senior minister at the Judson Memorial Church in New York City. And she was one of the first women ministers for the United Church of Christ. She has written a book called Raising Interfaith Children. And she is married to Warren Goldstein, a Jewish professor, and they have three children. And she is here to offer her perspectives on how they make this work. And welcome to Spark One, Reverend Donna Schaffer.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. I'm sorry, I'm a little flustered because I was left in that sort of void of not knowing what was going on, but I appreciate your joining me today. And so my first question to you is, how did you and your husband meet?
Oh, we met at Yale University, where I was a chaplain and he was a graduate student.
And was there resistance from anybody, from your families, when you first became a couple?
Yes, from his family, not from mine. And, it's interesting. I think there was more tension on his side because I was Christian actively, because I was already ordained then. And then all of a sudden, like 2 years into the relationship, I said, well, I've got to get out of this. What about my children? You know? And so I literally quit the job and moved away so that I could stop being in love with Warren. And then I had another job in the United Church of Christ, and I thought, well, I guess I'm in love with this guy, and I'd rather have children than have a job. So I figured my job would be quite prejudiced by my marrying him. And if anything, it was really helped by it.
Wow. And you have three kids, and you have decided to raise them in both faiths. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how do you manage the holidays? What are the holidays like in your household?
Well, we do quite a few different things. Celebrate Hanukkah, celebrate Christmas. This year we'll go to Les Miserables on Christmas Day. And, the kids are grown now. I mean, they're 28 and 30 almost. My twins are almost 28. My son, oldest, is almost 30. He has two children of his own. And they really have identified more Jewish, two of them. And the third, my youngest twin, he really isn't that interested in religion, which is sort of typical for people who are age 28.
And do you have you celebrated both Hanukkah and Christmas with family meals? I mean, I think sometimes cultures and religions are just about as much as the ritual as it is about the actual going to service.
Yes, we have big meals and lots of parties. So that's how we do it. I mean, we go to Christian services on Christmas and we light the candles as many times as we can. I don't think we hit all the nights, but we hit maybe half of them.
And have you any suggestions for families that are, let's say, opposed to the relationship, because I see this quite often. I have a friend who her son was dating a woman. She was Jewish. He wasn't. And it became a deal breaker. They broke up, sort of similar to what you're talking about. And actually the mother of the young man was devastated because she liked this girl so much. So what can you suggest for families that are working through it? How can they help this system? Because I think it's hard to find the right person. Obviously, you found Mr. Right. So what what can you offer?
Well, you know, it really depends on how important your religion is to you. The first thing I would say is, for me, religion is the most important thing in my life. Second, there's no second. Warren is a second. My children are a second. And if I thought that Warren didn't know me, that was the case for me, then, you know, I don't think we could be together in the first place. So it's really not an interfaith question so much as a question about faith and what's really important to a person.
And so when I named this episode, I used the question, who's God in our house? You have both, you've accepted both freely. Would you be open and accepting of other faiths being joined into your family?
Oh, absolutely. Well, as I was saying, my daughter very much identifies as a Jew. My oldest son not only identifies as a Jew, his wife is about to become a rabbi, and he's very active in raising his children in the Jewish faith. His 3-year-old son said to me the other day, Bubby, why didn't we give a prayer before we had that big snack? And I said, well, it was just a snack. We didn't have to. And he said, no, but it was a very big snack. It was like a meal.
What about somebody that is Muslim?
If somebody Muslim were to marry into our family, I think that would be great.
Oh. Yeah. So you definitely have the inclusive outlook. And I think, you know, a lot of times it's been my experience that people that are closed-minded, they're fearful. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yes, and I think a lot of us are afraid of blend. I happen to love blend. I don't think it makes me less a Christian or Warren less a Jew that we're together.
And so how about your children? Do they have any situations in school or perhaps, you know, socially that they've had any kind of discrimination?
I don't think they have had any social discrimination. I can imagine a situation where someone would, and I've certainly known other kids who have. But we have not experienced that.
And you live in New York City, which is probably one of the more worldly places to grow up. I had an interesting experience. I'm Asian, I'm Chinese, and I went to a very small town in the Midwest. And when I got in the cab driver was sort of yelling at me, "Can you understand me?" It was one of those scenarios, and this was a long time ago. But, you know, I think when people are exposed to a variety of different cultures, then it's easier to be accepting. But when you haven't been exposed to them, then you don't understand. One of my suggestions for people is just learn. That's why I wanted to have you on, Donna, because I felt like you had so much good information. Can you tell us a little bit about your books?
Well, I've written quite a few books. My most popular book is one called Keeping Sabbath. And, you know, Sabbath is both a Christian ritual and a Jewish ritual.
I did not know that.
In it, I try to address the time famine that I think everybody experiences. And learn how to be more relaxed and more full of joy about the time that we do have as opposed to rushing through it or by it. The book I wrote about raising interfaith children was kind of early in the process. I know so much more now that Isaac and Katie have decided to identify as Jews after being raised both ways. You know, that was hard on me, I think. I would have preferred, I suppose, in some very immature or premature way that they either would have stayed blended or become Christian. And so I was faced with my own egotism about my own faith there.
That's interesting. And do they were they aware of that, or is this a revelation on air?
They know about that. Yes, they do know. But also they know that I'm kind of amused with myself in those terms. You know, like, what was I thinking about? You know, I either meant it or I didn't mean it.
And that is definitely, you know, I think a lot of people profess, probably myself included, like, oh, I like everyone. My grandfather was an ambassador, and I was taught that you're supposed to be nice to everyone. But then, of course, you run into that person that, there's something about them I just don't feel comfortable with. And so, I mean, obviously, you're fully comfortable integrating these two religious groups, but there could be that one that comes in, and you have to rethink, am I really comfortable with it?
I think we all talk a good game, too.
Yes, and I also saw that you like to garden.
I do. That's what I've written 3 books about gardening. That's my favorite thing.
That's your passion, and I think, metaphorically, we're gardeners on this earth. I mean, we all have our opportunity to make things grow, including ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular episode for me is about growth and understanding. I didn't really have that much background about the different religions, but when I said I'm going to do an episode on this, I studied, I saw the documentary about Three Faiths that was on PBS, and it made me understand more where some of the conflicts were born out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been super interesting for me, Donna. And I know you have other commitments, and I really appreciate you partaking in Spark. I hope that people will definitely use your example and learn from you. And is there any other tidbit you want to share with people before I move on?
Well, yes. It's more important to love and be in love than to be right. And that is also true about religion.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Donna Sapper, and I will be putting up a link to all of your work and your books on my website, and we will hopefully speak with you soon.
Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
My next guest is Tony Carnes, who is the editor of A Journey Through New York City Religions, and this is a project where he has interviewed all the religious organizations in and around New York City. And I wanted his perspectives on the similarities and the differences in the different organizations and how he has observed how they operate and their inclusive values versus exclusive values. And maybe he can talk a little bit about what he has discovered and how we can all get along. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Ah, wonderful to be here, Audrey.
And we just had a brief conversation yesterday about your work, and I wanted you to share with the listeners, how did this whole project get started, A Journey Through New York City Religions? Tell me about that.
Well, I noticed that there was such tremendous religious change going on in New York, and I thought it was one of the big stories of New York City, one of the top five. And it was underreported, and I thought, well, I'm a reporter. I ought to do something about it. So I started on going down every street, every alleyway, every shopping center mall in the city. There's about 6,500 miles of streets in New York. And my gosh, I just found that it was a life-changing experience. And we have about 70-some-odd volunteers and a couple of staff. And we started a magazine called A Journey Through NYC Religions. And we discovered so many jewels in the city, so many interesting things, and I would say for everybody that goes on our journey, it's a life-changing experience. We just go down the street, we stop at a religious site, we photograph, we videotape, we interview people there, we ask them if we can interview other people in their congregation, or gurdwara, or, you know, their religious site, and they're usually very welcoming. We've just been in so many places. And there's just all these jewels. So one time we went down in Jamaica, Queens, which is sort of far eastern Queens, where It's an African-American Caribbean area, and we stopped at this little place, and it seemed like it was shut. I knocked on the door, and nobody answered. So I put a letter and a questionnaire under the, and we would call them later, and then I come around, and I hear music. I said, oh, there's somebody in there. The door wasn't locked, so I pulled over the door, and what it was, they were all of a sudden, they were having this deacons meeting, but because they were all, they had all been music groups, but in the past, their deacons meeting was they do a little bit of, you know, how much money we give to somebody that needs a little help, paying for rent or something, and then they break out and do some music numbers with each other. And they were great. I mean, they were really, really good. And yet, it was a pretty plain storefront. You would never know this powerful music. We did a story on it. We did a video on it and played the music. And all of a sudden, they started getting demands for their music, and they formed a music group and going around the city performing at different places. But it's just things like this that people are very, very dynamic. It's a very dynamic place. New York has, like a lot of places, but it's a tremendous number of people have come in, migrants, immigrants, and it's always something happening. And one of the biggest happening things was religion. And what it did for me, and I know what it does for a lot of our staff and volunteers, is that when they come and there's all of these divisions. There's secularist versus the religious. There is this or that, the religious versus the religious. There's the Orthodox Jews versus secular Jews. There are all these divisions, but in fact, while those divisions are often, true or based on different convictions, they all are doing things that the other can learn from. They're doing some unique, one of the hot things for the last couple of years in New York have been Hasidic rappers, like Mata Siahu and others. Who would have thought, right? Well, right. Where did they get that from, right? And so,
is that on YouTube?
we actually run some of the rappers. And they're African rappers in New York. They're Orthodox Hasidic rappers. They're this, that. But the point being is that, look, we're not all going to agree on everything. But around the world, there are these fundamental different convictions about the way life is. But if we can see how even in respecting those differences, we can look at and see what strengths there are, how we can, in certain areas, pull together. We're not going to pull together in all areas. But in a lot of areas, and particularly in a place like New York, we can be an example of the whole world because we got over 800 languages spoken in New York, 156 nationality groups in one community district alone. And that's a sort of like a town in New York. And we can learn from each other, and of course, there are these challenges. And I know one of the challenges that you've been giving some thought about is the interreligious marriage, interfaith marriage. And these are a practical challenge for people, and there's different answers to that question. And part of the pluralist world is that, well, we're going to have different answers. But one thing that's a bottom line is that if two people of two different faiths come together, they need to be honest about their faith, they need to be honest about their love for each other, and they also need to learn from each other's faith. They need to say, open up, because, here we got sort of a conflict of loves. There's the love for each other, and there's the love for their faith, and sometimes the love for family and community. All of these loves are mixed together, and they're hard to balance out for people.
Well, and I think what you hit on is everyone has to first start with that person to person. They want to be together. That's the core of everything. They want to make it work out. Then they, all the other stuff around them, it's almost incidental. But I think sometimes people can't get past that.
Well, some people, as I look in the city, for some people, it is about the two people, and then that is really about them. I think the rest of the family and community need to respect that. It's about the two. For others, they may there may be certain values they have that are contradictory. They probably wouldn't be in a relationship in the first place. But let's say they are. Let's say they're a Democrat or Republican or something. You know, I mean, Mary Matlin and Carvel, you think how James Carvel, these two politicals,
yes.
One working for Clinton and one working for the Republicans, Mary Matlin worked for the Republicans, you think, how would do they ever get together? Because they're both known as pretty hardball politicians. And they somehow make it work. For other people, I had an acquaintance at one time and said that, you know, I went into a theater and I knew there was a Republican there, and I went out in terror because I didn't want to come close to them. Well, you know, that's so extreme, and I don't think most people think that. But the point is, for her, she wouldn't have been in the relationship. And in fact, she's missing. We don't want to miss, even in our profound differences, we don't want to miss where we have some profound ways to appreciate each other. And if their relationship to their family or community is really, really strong, then, you know, the couple needs to say, okay, how are we going to deal with this? And one way is to separate off. Another way is to, there are other ways to try to balance those out. And there are just a couple ways to handle that. You know, you can try to persuade. That sort of creates a cohesive framework. That may not work. You may need to alternate, you know, on Thanksgiving we're with one, and on Hanukkah we're with another, then the next year will be Christmas with the other family. I mean,
it's a compromise.
Yeah, it's sort of called alteration. That is,
alteration.
You alternate. And you got to really think that through, because you know the easiest thing in the world, and you and I probably, everybody has this. We alternate sometimes without thinking about it because we're avoiding the conflict. And we don't realize that we're really sort of doing this sort of alternating behavior because you're trying to avoid conflict. We should say, well wait a minute, I'm dealing with a conflict there. Is that a good solution? Is that, and it is a good solution for a lot of people. So, you know, we can see that it's, relationships are really strained. We know the relationship of the family up in, Newtown, Connecticut was strained, and we don't know if that contributed to, you know, the shooting or anything. But we do know that what it does tell us, families have these challenges, and we want to be healing in those situations.
I loved your phrase when you said,
yeah.
I don't want to miss out. And I think that's something that it's a way of life. It's a philosophy. To me, everything is interesting, and I'm curious about most things, and sometimes I have to be honest and say, I didn't like that.
Right.
But I think when you're sort of isolated and unwilling to see someone else's side is where we get into trouble. I was going to ask you, you've studied all these different religious organizations and been to all these different houses of worship. Have you met up with hostility? In delving into their faith?
I would say not very often, but, occasionally you come to people that, one, are just not very, they don't like reporters, so, okay, that's the right to their being on that. But you do have others that are, see outsiders as a threat, and but you know what I discover, we've been into communities in Brooklyn that are very hard to, I give you an example. The Satmar Jewish community is a very conservative community and usually doesn't deal too much with the outside world. And they are, we were going down Bedford Avenue, which is this longest street in Brooklyn. It's 15 miles, and it's an amazing street. And it goes right through the Satmar community. And I'm going down and walking from synagogue to synagogue. In one place, there must have been 17, 18 synagogues in one block. unbelievable, right? And so in my business, that's a nirvana, you know, that's wonderful.
for your purposes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm walking down and, you know, and I'm trying to puzzle out, I'm with my very bad Hebrew, trying to puzzle out the names and stuff and write down things and then talk to people. And I get down to the end of the block and this kid has been standing there the whole time. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, well, I explained to him, we're journeying through religion, we're stopping at every place. And he said, He says, "You know, you missed one." I said, "What do you mean I missed one?" And he said, "Well, right down there, there's right on the corner down there." And I said, "I see." And he says, "There's a little plaque over there by the door that says synagogue, you know, bet, you know, being a house of worship." And I said, "That plaque, you can't read it." And he says, "Well, it's a synagogue. You should go back there." So I went back and I knocked on the door and there was nobody there, but I wrote down the information. I go back and talk to the kid, he's still there. And I said, "Well," says, you know, "what do you do around here?" And he says, "Well, I'm the rabbi's son."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "You know," he said, "would you like to meet my dad?" And I said, "Yeah." So he brings me in to, the Satmar Synagogue and, the father's a little startled, and I, of course, I'm very sensitive that their ways of you have to handle yourself in the right way in that setting, both in the ways of touching and stuff like that. And so I'm hyper anxious to be appropriate to him. And the father sees the son is really intrigued, and so he says, says, "You should come with me." So the father takes me, and it turns out that they were having the, when you get a coming of age, you also get your hat, your adult hat in the Satmar community. And they're giving out the hats. And so he brings me, and he puts me right up with all the other rabbis on this little pedestal. I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to get thrown out of here any moment. And he says, "You know, you stand right here, and you'll get good pictures." Oh, my God.
Wow.
And after that, I just went from one thing to the other. Now, this is a pretty close community, you can run into, of course, the boundaries lines are very strong, and you can run. But I also found, as you notice here, there is love there. He had a love for his son. His son was interested in the photography, I think. And he wanted to show that love to his son. And so for that, he brought me in. He invited me in and put me right in the heart of the Satmar community.
And very inclusive. And I think that's the message, that if we can offer that message, and I'm not a trained journalist, and I certainly don't know that much about religion, but I do understand as humanity. I made a crack one time to a friend. I said, "You know that movie ID4 Independence Day, where it took aliens invading out from outer space for all of the different countries and you know religions to pull together and defeat the aliens?" I said, "Why is that?" And so I think, you know, hopefully in this episode we have shared with people, What do we need to do to work together to all get along? And I think religious pluralism is a start.
Right.
And do you have any suggestions for people that are curious about studying more? I obviously have been sending them to your website and your information, but what other things can people do to educate themselves and become more inclusive?
Well, you know, I think right now in many of the areas of the country, there's such dramatic change and new religions coming up. Sometimes they're old religions revived. Like you have many new Hispanics coming in. And what I think you should do is just go by a religious site and go in and ask to talk to people and ask them what's going on here. And, you know, because there are new neighbors very often. And just to see, and at first you'll feel so uncomfortable and afraid, but you don't need to. People are really pretty hospitable. And just ask them, and then you start asking these questions. Just be curious. You're a perfect example, Audrey. You've got a curiosity about you. You range all over the place. And, I mean, that is just, and you know, you have a wide range of people you talk to and know, and you just find out. That's the best advice. You know, love the people you're going to, even if you feel, you know, like a stranger. Just know that, you know, wow, there's a lot going on there. Everybody has a great story. You just need to find it.
I love that, Tony. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I really appreciate all of the good information. And listeners, please go to his website, A Journey Through New York City Religions. And do you have any other books or manuals that they could study?
Well, I do have a book called New York Glory, Religions in the City. It's sort of a with Anna Karpatakis, who's a different is a different faith to mine. So it's made up of people of all types of faiths in New York are writing in the book. And you know, our website is nycreligion.info. If people have experiences that you know, like what you're talking about, I'm sure that you and I would love to hear about them because they, you know, other people can see how people live their lives and how they overcome these differences. They teach us all, and that's what you're about. And so I can't wait to hear what you find out as a result of this program.
Thank you so much, Tony, and I'm so happy Garrett Kling introduced us to each other just, you know, through his work as a journalist, and also I know him as a skater, you know him as a writer, but
did a great job for us. Terrific. And we got an interesting story he did about Timbuktu Mosque in Harlem with the Baptist Church across the street, how they work together.
I saw that.
Wow.
Fantastic. So, Merry Christmas. I know you're in Texas, and thanks so much for calling in, and we'll be in touch soon, Tony.
Okay, bye.
Bye. A curiosity that I had, it was Christmas Eve. I was over in Japan for the Japanese National Championships, and I felt, you know, kind of homesick and lonely, so I got in a cab, and I went to Midnight Mass in Japan. I was about 2 feet taller than most of the people in the service, first of all. And the whole service was, of course, in Japanese. And even though I'm Asian, I'm Chinese, didn't understand a word of it. But the people there were so nice. They obviously knew I wasn't from their community. And yet they all came over and shook my hand and were very welcoming. So don't be afraid to just walk into a church and partake of their service. I highly, highly recommend it if you're, as Tony said, a curiosity type person like myself. This is Audrey King Witziger on Spark One on the Voice America Network on the Empowerment Channel.